Call the House Committee on Sustainability and Economic Development to order. Welcome back to the Encore Performance. It's the first time I've chaired a second committee meeting in one day. It's a little bit different orientation, and whatever you think of my normal performance, I hope it doesn't decline. We have three things on our agenda. Just to prepare you in advance, we're going to be jumping around a little bit because of people's schedule and availability. So I hope you'll understand as we temporarily open and close things to accommodate people being here. So we'll start with a work session on House Bill 2598. Open that. This, colleagues, if you'll remember, is the bill dealing with the Human Stem Cell Research Committee. We've had that pretty recently, so I'm not sure that we need a summary again. These are the we adopted the Dash 6 amendments recently, and had been waiting for a fiscal and revenue statement, which we now have. We have that in our packets here. Thank you. Flipping through to find that. Is it near the?
It's at the end.
At the back. Okay. It is second from the last on mine. So,
the one that's incorrect.
Yes. So, Representative Galizio, did you want to make a comment about
if
that?
If you could explain, that would be great.
It seems to me, of course, that we had. It does say 159 in the fiscal. You'll recall we had some conversation during the last hearing from the Department of Human Services that indicated that that cost had come down as a result of the amendment. Rather than slow things up here, it'd be my preference that we move on to the Ways and Means Committee, where that specific mistake can be rectified, and the committee can consider the bill in the total context of our state budget and so on. So, is there any discussion about the amendment or the bill while we're in work session? Representative Gillian?
Mr. Chair, you're entertaining discussion on either the amendment or the bill.
I would say on the bill, which it now includes the Dash 6 amendments,
that's
which
right.
we adopted.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yes,
right.
No problem.
I would like to just briefly say, and I want to be very clear again, how much I know this for many of us is a sensitive issue, and I, again, thank you for the respect that you've shown to those of us who have some difficulty with it. And I want to say the same for Vice Chair Galizio. At least we could talk about it, and I appreciate it very much. Change is inevitable, and it's not that I oppose the change. It's not that I oppose fresh air when administrations change. But I think that... For me, this boils down to chasing federal dollars. And in this economic climate, maybe that's what we have to do. But I regret that we can't, as a state, stand up and say the greatest potential, because I believe testifiers bore this out, the greatest potential is in adult stem cell research. I fear that we're treading, and at least for me, I can only speak for myself, but in my opinion, we're treading on some pretty important ethical and values issues. And I don't think the future should be or is in the embryonic. So I wish we could separate that out. I wish we weren't just making a policy that, in my view, sets us up to chase federal dollars. So I will be voting against it, and I hope that there'll be more discussions in this body that focuses on great biomedical research that we can all agree on. And I know your motivation, I know the motivation of the Vice Chair, is to open up the doors for research to alleviate suffering. And we had some great testimony about that. But I'd sure like us to focus on the adult cell, stem cell, where the potential is. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Gillian. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Galizio?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House Bill 2598 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation and ask that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Thank you. Representative Galizio moves House Bill 2598 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, let's take a roll call vote, please.
Representative Bailey?
Aye.
Representative Gilliam?
No.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Representative Whit?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ben, excuse me.
Excuse.
Vice Chair Felizio?
Aye.
Aye. Motion having received the required majority is declared passed. House Bill 2598, as amended, is referred to the floor with the due pass recommendation and to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Thank you very much for good discussion. Appreciated your comments, particularly Representative Gilliam, about the tone with which we were able to conduct the conversation. With that, close the work session on. I don't believe
don't
we
need, that
we need to carry okay. it to Ways and Means. Okay. So, thank you. With that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 2598. Open a public hearing on House Bill 3058. Barbara, if you could give us a quick summary, and Representative Schaffler, thank you for your patience. Happy to hear from you after our summary.
HB 3058 changes the definition of applicant for purposes of the removal fill permitting program administered by the Department of State Lands for the state's water resources to include persons other than landowners or their representatives.
Representative Schaffler.
Thank you,
for
Mr.
Sticking
Chair,
around.
And members of the committee. You know, anytime you site a road or electrical transmission lines or facility or a pipeline or an LNG plant or anything, pretty much anything, emotions run high and sometimes our passions get away from us and our passion. And I wasn't even going to come down here because there's proponents of the bill that can speak a lot more with a lot more expertise to it than I can. But I just wanted to come here to set some things straight. First of all, an applicant, someone applying for a permit, they would have to, no matter what, they have to apply, get a permit, and get permission from the landowner they're going to be working on or condemn the land before any work can begin, period. No one is going to be doing any work without a permit or without permission or without condemnation of the land, period. And I would not vote for that. And I don't believe the other sponsor, my friend Brad Witt, would vote for that either. Matter of fact, I know he would. And I don't believe the proponents would ever come down and suggest anything like that. So the truth matters, words matter, language matters. And I think if you did a survey, we all use energy for one thing. You did a survey of folks, I think you would find that the majority of people, whether they oppose or support things like this, all use natural gas, electricity, drive on the roads, gravel, wood fiber. We all eat food. So in this climate, we need jobs. There's projects out there that would take no government money to get going. There's some things that stand in the way. And I'm not suggesting we railroad or bulldoze or bully or push people around. There's a process in the state, and I respect and support that process. But this is a deliberative body, Mr. Chair, and people come here with ideas. And sometimes we as legislators agree with them, sometimes we don't. But we sit down and we talk our differences out without name-calling, without making things up. We examine the issues, the ideas as they're presented to us, and then we make our decision based on that and based on what our heart can support and what we can live it with. I think it's a good bill, Mr. Chair. There is going to be an amendment that will be explained later. I think I've said pretty much all I need to say today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions except from the Representative Gilliam. No, that's not true.
Throwing down the gauntlet, Representative Schaffler. Are there any questions? Representative Witt?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not actually a question, but rather a comment for the co-sponsor of this bill. Our committee had rather extensive hearings this afternoon on the impact that one particular utility, an Idaho power utility, was having on the county of Malheur. And it had every appearance that power company had gone out of its way in planning to date to try and run a power line through every bit of valuable farmland that exists in Malheur County. And I am looking at testimony here that was submitted by Bob Shipwreck from the Oregon Building Trades Council. This says that one of the biggest benefits of this bill is that once you apply for a fill removal permit, you can work with DSL, Department of State Lands, and landowners to adjust your route so that you have the least impact. I think this is a critically important component of this. And if we are going to be having rights of way used for whatever purpose, then those routes ought to be determined to have the least impact on both public and private property. And I am pleased to be able to be on a bill with you that accomplishes that end.
Thank you, Representative Witt. Any questions for Representative Schaffler? Seeing none.
There's just one more thing, if I may add.
Please.
I've actually been involved in a condemnation eminent domain process. We had a road in Happy Valley when I was on City Council. We straightened a road, and that road was real curvy and went down in a ravine. And the city manager's son had a boyhood friend who, when he was in high school, died on that road. And we straightened it out. But we ran into, I think there was four landowners. One was just holding out, wanted a ridiculous amount of money, and we had to follow through with condemnation. But they still got market value plus, I believe, 5%. But the point is, it was really good and positive for the safety, health, and welfare of our community. These projects are well planned out, well thought out, and they allow for, and we definitely have, and I support, public involvement. But sometimes you just can't please everyone, and we demand energy in this state. We all use energy, and we all need jobs. And I believe through this process we can go and make sure we have the least amount of impact. And I'd be quite frank with you, I've seen it happen, and I'm seeing it happen with this and other projects as well. So with that, I'll just shut up and wish you a good night, and thank you for your service.
Happy to have you stick around if you want, but I imagine you might have another place to go. With that, we'll start our testimony from those who have signed up. I'd like to call up Amy Joyce and Luis Soliday. I hope I haven't mispronounced that. To get us started, please.
Good evening, Luis Soliday, Director of the Department of State Lands. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening to testify on House Bill 3058. The original bill, as drafted, gives us some concern. It would open up our definition of applicant, which is currently listed to a landowner or someone who has the permission of a landowner, to anyone to come in and apply for a permit to do removal fill activities on anybody else's land. And I think there's a public policy reason why the statute is written the way it is and the definition of applicant is there. However, it is problematic for linear-type projects where we are constructing roads, constructing utilities in corridors across the state. The department receives numerous applications each year. We have a 30-day period to determine whether those applications are complete, and as a part of that completeness review, we determine whether the applicant is the landowner or has the permission of the landowner. If they don't, the application is returned to them until they are the owner or they have the permission of the landowner. So they can't even start in our process until they are the landowner or have the permission of the landowner. As I said, there's a good public policy reason for that. You don't want anybody being able to come in and ask for permission to do something on your land without your permission. And I think that's rooted in our strong proper private property rights that we have in the state of Oregon. There is an amendment that I think some of the folks will introduce this evening that would narrow that change to the definition of applicant to those projects that are utility or transportation projects and in those corridor types of projects. And what it would do is allow those folks to come in the door and apply, even though they are not yet the owner or have the permission of the owner. We could process that application, go through the completeness review, go through the public review process, get through the permitting process, and we would then condition the permit on no work occurring in waters of the state until they applicant is the owner or has the permission of the owner for those lands that affect waters of the state. You know, our job is to protect the waters of the state, to make sure that we conserve and preserve those for future generations, and also to make sure the public has the right to use its waterways for public purposes of navigation, commerce, fisheries, and recreation. And so we want to make sure that when these projects are permitted, they're being permitted in a way that's going to avoid or minimize the impacts to the water resources of the state. And I think providing some way for these corridor-type projects to get in the door sooner so that we can have that discussion with the utilities or, in the case of ODOT, for road construction, or cities and counties in the case where they're doing the construction of the roads, gives us the ability to work with the applicants to make sure that they are minimizing those impacts to waters of the state at the front end of the project process instead of at the back end of the process. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I just one quick clarification, and then perhaps others have questions too. Am I hearing you right to suggest that the benefit of the bill, if it's amended as you described, is to allow the department to evaluate potential projects in an earlier stage, such that Route A versus Route B can it be evaluated before at an earlier stage?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. We require applicants to do an alternatives analysis, so they've got to come in with sort of their preferred alternative, but they also have to show us other alternatives, and we oftentimes will make them go back and look at additional alternatives that we think would reduce further the impacts to waters of the state. They have to look at weigh the pros and cons of the ecological benefits versus the economic benefits of and costs of those different alternatives.
Thank you. Representative Witta, I think I saw your hand.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to ask a series of questions to clear up what I believe are a bunch of red herrings that each one of our committee members have probably read in email.
Please go ahead.
And perhaps even some intentional misinformation. Director Soliday, we have received information that suggests that this bill would allow persons to fill wetlands and rivers on private land without the owner's permission.
Mr. Chair and Representative Witt, that would not be the case. The entity would have to be the owner or have the permission of the owner.
Thank you. We've also received information that House Bill 3058 takes property without any authorization.
Mr. Chair and Representative Witt, this bill has nothing to do with the changing hands of property. It simply redefines applicant for purposes of linear projects.
The House Bill 3058 automatically gives companies permits for work on private property.
Mr. Chair and Representative Witt, they would get a permit for work on private property potentially, but could not do that work until they were the owner or had the permission of the landowner.
Thank you. That the bill provides eminent domain rights?
Mr. Chair and Representative Witt, it is silent on that issue. It does not do that.
That the bill extends special exceptions to pipeline companies, and there are various permutations of that, but
Mr. Chair and Representative Witt, it would create a sort of a unique avenue for them to get into our process, but these are unique projects that are linear, that extend and oftentimes extend many miles, as opposed to a fill of a wetland on an individual property. So they are different by their very nature.
Thank you. And my final one, the bill allows companies to steal people's land.
Mr. Chair and Representative Witt, as I read the bill, it does not do that.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I may have a final question, but I'll allow other committee members at
thank
this
you.
Point.
Thank you. Are there other questions? Representative Holvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Director, thank you very much for coming after hours to keep us busy. I'm curious, I've read the bill and, a lot of information. Can you explain to me what the problem is that this bill is trying to solve in the first place? I mean, what is it in our process right now that doesn't seem to be working correctly for whatever project we're speaking of?
Mr. Chair and Representative Holvey, first of all, I don't know what after hours are. I'm 24/7 most days.
We appreciate you being here.
Sure. Here's the issue. The way applicant is defined in our statute, it's for anybody who comes in to apply for an individual permit to do removal fill activities in waters of the state. An applicant has to either own the land or have the permission of the landowner. In the case of these utility and transportation corridors, you have these linear projects that many times take many years of planning to develop. And these applicants are in a position where they have to wait until they go through a condemnation process, buy out the properties that they want to locate their corridors on, whatever the process is for those particular corridor projects. And that is very late in the process when they can finally then come in our door and say, we own the land, or we have the permission of the landowner. And it's after they have already gone through all of this work to develop a corridor in the first place. They come in to us, they've condemned land in some cases, and we take a look at their project and say, well, you could have routed the project over here to avoid this wetland, or you could have gone here to avoid this particular stream. And so you could have minimized, our statutes require you to avoid, minimize, or then mitigate if you can't avoid or minimize. And so you could have avoided or you could have minimized further your impacts to waters of the state. And so we're then at the back end of this process saying, well, we'd rather this corridor be over here. So now we're potentially putting those entities in a position of having to go out and condemn additional land, and the land that they condemned, they're not any longer going to use. So it's you know, putting the cart before the horse in the process.
Well, follow up, Mr. Chair. Please. Well, thank you. So you're saying they have to actually get the permits before they can go through this process with you to do the alternatives analysis?
Mr. Chair and Representative Holvey, they would have to get ownership of the land or have the permission of the landowner before they can even submit an application to our department.
Thank you. Thank you. Other questions? I'd intended, Ms. Joyce, to have you speak, and then we'd ask questions to everybody, but we kind of got away from that. So I appreciate your sticking around while we ask questions of the director, but we'd love to hear your perspective, too.
Glad
it's nice to nice to see you again.
Thank you, Chair Reed and members of the committee, and glad to get educated by the Department of State Lands director. Amy Joyce, Department of Transportation. ODOT acquires property for highway projects, and under current law, if we need a removal fill permit, we need to either A, already own that property, or B, get written landowner permission. And when we acquire property for projects, sometimes that process is lengthy. And significant to that is appraisals, negotiations with property owners to get to a fair settlement at fair market value, which is the requirement of the law. So the idea under House Bill 3058, as I understand it, that there would be other amendments coming, is to allow us to apply for this removal fill permit where they're needed and get to that point right before issuance prior to us actually having the acquisition in place. And then upon legal ownership, then DSL could write us that permit. What it would do for us quite simply is reduce project delays. We don't have to wait until after we've acquired ownership, either by negotiation or through a court proceeding for condemnation. So we don't have to wait till, as Director Soliday said, to the tail end of the deal before we start applying for that permit. So it reduces project delay. It reduces costs. And our costs come out of the state highway fund, which is taxpayer dollars. So that's what this concept would do for us, is allow us to be running that permit process sort of at the same time we're running that right-of-way acquisition process. But, of course, after the Transportation Commission has determined that piece of property is a public necessity and directs us to acquire that property.
Thank you very much. Questions from Mr. Joyce. Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, I would like to ask a question of Director Soliday, if I might.
Please.
Louise, are you, you're familiar, I'm sure, with a federal litigation regarding permitting processes. Could you briefly describe how this bill is a natural outflow and or would impact that that litigation?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Witt, there are representatives from the Department of Justice here that I'd like to call up to actually address that question. So Jan Pruitt and Ben Miller are here. Huh? They can talk about the connection between the federal litigation and this bill.
More people we must be appreciative of for sticking around after hours. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Chair. Chair Reed, Representative Witt, if I understand your question, you're
and
asking.
If you could start by identifying yourself just so
my
we can figure it out later. No problem.
So, my name is Ben Miller. I'm an attorney with the Department of Justice.
Thank
I work
you.
In the Natural Resources section and handle this liquefied natural gas matters. Representative Witt, I understand your question to be asking the impact of this bill on the pending federal litigation we have. The state of Oregon is suing the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission within the Ninth Circuit. Is that that's correct?
And the whole issue of conditional use permits.
Representative Chair Reed, Representative Witt, this bill, as written, simply changes the definition of an applicant. It doesn't appear that it would have any impact on the pending litigation. The claims that the state of Oregon is asserting in that litigation are distinct from the current removal fill issue, and it doesn't really appear that it would have any impact.
Follow-up, Chairman. Thank you. Follow-up. My understanding is that there is a federal ruling, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that said that there could no longer be conditional use permits, that in fact it had to go through a state permitting process. And do I have that at least somewhat close?
Chair Reed, Representative Witt, I think I understand what you're asking. The one of the state of Oregon's objections that it's raising in the current proceeding before the Ninth Circuit is that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which has nearly exclusive jurisdiction over the siting of liquefied natural gas terminals and the associated pipelines, has issued their license before the state exercised its authority, which is reserved to it under sections of the Clean Water Act, the Coastal Zone Management Act, and the Clean Air Act. Is that
yes, I think that's where I was hoping that you would head, yes.
Yeah. And so the state is asserting in that instance that the state of Oregon, under those federal statutes, gets to go first before FERC issues its license, both the certificates to allow it to the applicant to construct the pipeline and the terminal. Is that?
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, may I please continue?
Yes.
I'm not sure whether my follow-up question is to you, sir, or to the director. But now, in essence, if I'm understanding what you've just told us, the federal courts are saying, okay, this now has to we must be pursued through a state process. Is that, again, close to being correct?
Chair Reed, Representative Witt, the federal courts within the Ninth Circuit haven't yet spoken on that issue. That is the position of the state of Oregon.
Okay.
That for those statutes, those federal statutes I listed, the state of Oregon is allowed to go first.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Mr. Chair and Representative Witt, just so you understand the connection here between all of this, in order for an entity to get their coastal zone management consistency determination, they have to have applied for our permit application. And so they can't get through the state process until they can apply to us. So we're asking the federal court to not allow FERC to issue a conditional license, forcing the applicants to go through the state process first, but we have a process issue in the state that is makes it difficult for that to happen first.
And Mr. Chairman, if I may follow up, and that's precisely where I was trying to get to in this line of questioning, was that we have chosen to pursue a route through a state permitting process, but we, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth here, Louise, but right now we do not have adequate means to pursue that. Is that somewhat close to?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wood, I'd say that's a fair characterization. They can't apply to us at the moment.
And Mr. Chairman, the conclusion here is that we've asked people to do something and they have no avenue in which to pursue it.
Or even to evaluate it.
Or even to evaluate it. And that this bill would be exceedingly helpful in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions for this panel? Thank you again for being here. We'll start down or continue down our list. Kathleen Carl, Lolita Carl, and Brett Vandenhoevel. As you're coming up, I want to note that we're a little past 6. I am committed to stay till 7. I can't necessarily make that commitment for all the other members of the committee, but given that, given the number of folks who are signed up to testify and the fact that we need to have at least a short discussion on another bill that's on our agenda, I'm going to ask people to keep their comments to 2 minutes per person, and I'll watch the clock. I'll start it when someone starts speaking.
Thank you for having me here, and I too am staying late after working all day too, so you should appreciate us also.
We do.
Thank you.
And if you could start with your name for the record,
please. My name is Kathleen Carl, 407 21st Street, Northeast Salem, Oregon.
Thank you.
And I can't believe the House is considering this House Bill 3058. First, the Department of Lands, Lady Director Soliday, already said that there's a problem with the definition of applicant. And I think that should be definitely looked at. I don't think that a director of linear projects should have the right to proceed on my land. And a linear project is still going over private lands, our lands. Whether it's long or short, it's still going over our lands. And the LNGs already have this eminent domain when FERC okays the site, they get this eminent domain. So this whole condemnation thing just seems a little fishy to me. So I just want to say that I'm opposed to it, that we have land, we make our living on that land, the people on that land have jobs, and so creating other people's jobs on our land, I don't really think that that's correct, and I'm opposed to this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Please go ahead.
Lolita Carl, Hubbard, Oregon, full-time farmer. I'm absolutely appalled at HB 3058. Why would the people of Oregon want our representatives and senators give away our rights to private, out-of-state investors who don't give a hoot about our farmlands, our forests, our rivers, and our wetlands? Our farm along the Pudding River has been in our family 94 years. We have cherished and cared for our wetlands. We have a current grant with Fish and Wildlife to improve the riparian habitat for steelhead trout and northern red-legged frogs. There is a delicate balance of flooding in the winter and farming in the summer. Drain tiling has been in place for 80 or more years. Agriculture is Marion County's number one industry, yet there seems little concern about the disruption and destruction of this important economic engine. Why should pipeline companies not have to get permits to be regulated before they do serious, irreparable harm to our environment that our state taxpayers may have to clean up after? Already, Oregon LNG has cited their pipeline in one of the most haphazard and ridiculous crossings of the Pudding River bottom land imaginable. Instead of crossing the Pudding river by the bridge where the wetlands are the narrowest. It zigzags along a creek, along ditches, and across tiling. They've already demonstrated a complete lack of understanding of the environment in which they hope to work. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. VandenHeuvel.
I'm Brett VandenHeuvel. I'm the director of Columbia Riverkeeper. The history of this issue is important. I've handed out, that I hope you can have in front of you, a letter from Bradwood Landing, the LNG company, written in 2007. And why does Bradwood Landing, the LNG company, why does Palomar want this change? They proposed in 2007, quote, in order to address these issues, we will ask the Oregon legislature to expand the definition of applicant to expressly include, and it goes on, to include pipelines. So even though Representative Witt wouldn't even say the word LNG earlier, this is clearly about LNG. This law has been, the requirement for an applicant to be the landowner for only, to only allow a landowner to do a removal fill permit has been a long-standing Oregon law. Why does this need to change now? It is only changing, I shouldn't say only because I don't know, but a primary reason I would propose is because of the LNG pipelines. The question here is, who has the burden? So they can do, they can get, LNG companies, the pipeline companies, can get a removal fill permit, but the law as it stands now says they have to go through the eminent domain process first. And that is only fair. That's fair to the landowners. Why do we have a giveaway to allow them to get all of these permits first without going through eminent domain? As it stands now, it's good public policy. It supports landowners' rights. It's efficient. It saves the state money that they don't have to process permits that are never going to be built. This bill flips that on its head. It allows eminent domain to be the second step. It allows them to get these permits before they have the right to the pipeline, before they have the right to use land. And they're talking, you know, Director Soliday said there's examples where they would have liked to have seen it earlier. They could have avoided that stream or could have avoided this stream. If there's examples of that, we would love to see it.
Mr. VandenHeuvel, that concludes 2 minutes, so if you could wrap up, please.
Sure. They can begin the public process by looking at these earlier. They just simply should not be able to get a permit. It's putting the lives on hold of the farmers. It's putting the lives on hold of the landowners. It's decreasing their value only for corporate profits because they do not, as stated in this letter, they do not want to go through the eminent domain process because it costs the corporations money.
Thank you very much. Next on our list, Stephen. I'm having a hard time reading the last name. It starts with an A and an M, it looks like. Okay. The next one's very difficult. Looks like S-H-A, Spady, maybe? Is that right? Okay. People's handwriting. You know, we got to work on that, too, right? Steve Wick, also, please. So I'll start the clock when you start, please.
Thank you very much, Chairman Reed. My name is Stephen Amick. I represent the Progressive Action Community Team. We're an Estacada-based community action organization, and I'm also a member of Oregon Citizens Against the Pipeline. My longtime acquaintance, Mike Schaffler, reminded us all of something today, and that is the importance of words. Words do mean something, and permit means something. It means giving somebody permission to do something.
I just suggest you move the microphone a little bit farther away. It doesn't distort quite as much.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thank you.
Permit means to give somebody permission to do something with presumably some object or other property. When you're talking about my property, I don't want anybody having permission to do anything with it, even if it's permission that is somewhat held in abeyance on condition of some future event or circumstance. I think that's basic to American property rights, is that we have the right to control what happens on our own land. As it happens, I'm not an affected property owner, but I am an affected citizen. And as a retired reporter for the Oregonian, I think it's important that there be public process and open public process with all of the motives and all of the principles involved on the table. Let's face it, what this is a streamlining process for a pipeline to go through private property. That's all it is at this point. That's the motivation for it. That's why this bill is before this committee and before this body. It presupposes, when we're talking about efficiencies, it presupposes that these pipelines and these other projects that are contemplated by this bill are already determined to be appropriate and for the good of the people of the state of Oregon. That is not necessarily.
Wrap up, please.
Okay, that is not necessarily the case. We're talking about putting the cart before the horse. Let's have the landowners, the citizens of the state, come first and have these out-of-state corporations come later.
Thank you. One comment, just as you as we transition to other folks, when we're on the floor of the House, we're reminded frequently that it's very important not to ascribe motivations to other people because it helps the quality of the debate. So going forward, if we can try to stick to that and just talk about our own concerns, our own opinions and motivations, and not call others into question, that'd be helpful. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Shaw Spady. I am a resident of Clackamas County. The Palomar, proposed Palomar pipeline will be going through a stable I own where we work with disadvantaged children and rescue horses. That being said, I've also been a member of the Clackamas County Sustainability Committee, and we have done in-depth investigations of the economic, social, and environmental impact of how we move forward as a culture, as a body, into the future. One of the things that we came to realize is that energy independence is one of the most important places for us to go as a state and as local communities, to bring as much energy created in our local communities as possible. My experience with this foreign fossil fuel further dependence, because the pipeline, this pipeline is devoted to further addiction, further representation, need for foreign fossil fuel, is flying in the face of everything we learned and investigated on our sustainability committee. I would say that the state of Oregon has determined there's no need for LNG in the state of Oregon. So we're having a conversation about something that is presumed to be a given that hasn't been yet determined to be a given. And I think that we really need to slow down, take some time, do due diligence, due process. This process has worked for decades. There's a reason it came into being. And I encourage you to allow the process, which is to give private property owners every opportunity to hold on to their land and manage their land until it has been taken from them through the use of eminent domain by the federal government. No one else has the power or authority to do that, at least as far as I know. So I would request that this bill be denied and that you slow down the process.
Thank you. Good timing. Just past 2 minutes. Please go ahead.
My name is Steve Wick. I live in Yamhill County in Gaston. I'm here because of the possible effect that this bill would have on the gas pipelines that would probably or could come through our county and through our state. That's why I'm here. I think we need to go back and ask ourselves a couple questions here. Is this something that the people of Oregon would want? Is this something that the people of Oregon need? We're here for the people of Oregon. We all are. All our representatives, all of our senators. What do the people want? What do the people need? Mr. Witt, what do the people in your district need? What do they want? That's what we need to be here for. We've had a process, and Commissioner Ms. Holliday has told us that, well, it doesn't work too well, but we've had a process in the past, and it allows people, landowners, to keep their land until somebody, one, what's the first thing that needs to happen? They need to get a fair price for their land. Eminent domain doesn't need to happen. If somebody is given a fair price for their land, eminent domain doesn't need to be used. But in this process, we're going to skip eminent domain and walk right into a permitting process. Anybody can go talk to the Division of State Lands, and they can put things out to them and show them what they want to do before to get their final permit with eminent domain. So I want you to think about this. What do the people of Oregon want? Is this protecting their property rights? Is this protecting our property rights? Please think about that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks very much. With that, I mentioned earlier that we have another bill on our committee on our agenda, and some of our committee members have other obligations. Representative Witt, do you have a quick comment?
Yeah, just one question, Mr. Chairman. I'd be interested, any of the panels that have already testified or any that may subsequent to them, whether the amendment that Director Soliday had proposed would enable folks to get to yes on this, or if there are other amendments that would enable that.
Okay.
And one additional item, Mr. Chairman, as the director pointed out, an applicant must have either be a property owner or have the permission of the property owner before they apply for the permit. That would negate the need to have condemnation if you have that approval in the first place.
Thank you. I want to take a timeout on House Bill 3058 for a moment, so we'll come back to it in a moment to temporarily close the public hearing on House Bill 3058 and open a work session on House Bill 2626. This is just for the committee's benefit to receive an update on the process. You'll remember we've had extensive conversation about the bill known as EAST. That work goes on, and before Representative Bailey has to take off for another obligation, I thought it would be good for the committee to hear where we are on that bill. So, Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My apologies to the committee for the pause and to the folks that have traveled to be here. This will be brief. Committee, is, I believe we've spoken with each one of you individually, but for the record, wanted to give an update. We have a fairly substantial -2 amendment that we've received back from Legislative Council that addresses most of the substantive issues with this bill. There is some need for some additional fine-tuning, but nothing that I believe, Mr. Chair, that we've received in comments that we've received back so far that will change any of the substantive portions of the bill. And so the -2s you have in front of you should give you a pretty good idea of where the bill is headed. We are currently working just to correct a few drafting issues. I do want to commend Legislative Council for, I believe in the parlance, working their tail off to get these -2s back to us. And in a large 64-page draft like this, there are undoubtedly always going to be some things that were missed. So we will be clearing those up, and I believe, Mr. Chair, you have an intention on the timeline for this, but we'll be bringing this bill back to you shortly, and in the meantime, committee members, and for anybody listening, I would love to. I'm sure that the folks involved in this would love to receive some feedback on it.
Thank you, Representative Bailey. We do have it scheduled for an additional work session on Tuesday, at which time we're hopeful to have the -3s and be ready to move this bill on to the next step, its next stop, which is revenue. Any comments or questions about House Bill 2626 while we have it open? Representative Holby?
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank Representative Bailey for getting this to us ahead of time so we do get a chance to look at it. I wished it was a little bit shorter.
me too, Mr. Chair.
It's only 62, not 64.
62 pages for the benefit of the audience.
So anyway, but I do appreciate getting it ahead of time, ahead of the Tuesday meeting, so at least we do get a chance to potentially give you feedback. Thanks.
Well, don't feel obligated. If you like what you see, that's fine, too. If there are any other questions, we appreciate that discussion and the update. And so we'll close the work session on House Bill 2626. It's coming back on Tuesday. And reopen the public hearing on House Bill 3058. Thanks for sticking with us on that. And,
thank you, Mr. Chair.
Appreciate your diligence, Representative Bailey. Resuming our list then, Paul Sansom, I can't quite tell the second to last letter in the last name, Mary Wilson, and Roy Hemingway, please. Okay. You're Ms. Wilson? Is that okay? I'll skip down the list then. And next on our list is Susan Hansen.
My name is Paul Sansoni, and I'm a retired energy executive. I was co-founder of OnSite Energy, which was the largest renewable energy company in Oregon's history. We built hundreds of millions of dollars of projects in renewable energy in the 80s. We were a subsidiary of Pacific Power and Light. I want to protest the lack of notice on this hearing. I'm here talking for farmers and for foresters who are directly impacted for that. It is absolutely outrageous. that we have a letter going back to 2007 from regarding this that you're aware of, and that a draft of this wasn't widely circulated. This isn't the type of open government that we expect from our elected representatives. And being limited to a few minutes, I do want to make a couple points. I've processed, like I said, hundreds of millions of dollars in energy projects. Nothing in the current law prevents us from adequately processing. As a matter of fact, I encourage you to contact the director of DLCD regarding the conditional application of availability of a Coastal Zone Management Act. There's nothing to stop the LNG proponents for examining these corridors under current law. Let's be completely frank and open about this. This is about LNG. The letter that you have in front of you clearly documents that the wording of this bill was from Bradwood Landing. This isn't the proper place to be able to talk about that wider issue, but I want to warn you, each and every one of you, that like the Enron debacle, like the Whoops power systems, the proposals that you're dealing with today are going to be viewed as a tar baby. These are not needed. The cart is before the horse. If I'll summarize.
Thank you.
If we determine need before this project went forward, and talking with Commissioner Wellinghoff, who's now chair of FERC, he referred this back to the state. It's up to us to determine need before these projects go forward, and that's why we need the House built
2030 to 2058.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ms. Hansen, would you like to go next?
Sure. I'm Susan Hansen from Moala, Oregon. I'm here today in opposition of House Bill 3058. I am a board member of Northwest Property Rights Coalition, and I'm speaking today for a very large, very diverse group of Moala area landowners who are threatened by for-profit eminent domain for LNG pipelines. I represent very old landowners, hardworking farm families, Republicans, Democrats, Constitution Party members, loggers, conservationists, supporters of Measure 37, and people who worked doggedly to oppose it. We are obviously very different, but we have been solidly united as neighbors and Oregonians for almost 2 years because we have suffered together under the ugly black cloud of federal for-profit eminent domain. Please imagine your lives with federal for-profit eminent domain looming, or worse, such a process threatening the peace of mind and livelihood of your parents or your failing grandparents. Then as you consider this noxious bill, which is so obviously designed to grease the permitting process for greedy corporations, ask yourself if it is ethical to steal the existing legal rights away from Oregonians facing the theft of their beloved land. It is highly apparent that only politicians closely tied to multinational energy speculators would propose a bill like HB 3058. We demand in a united voice that those we elected to represent Oregonians stand up for us to defeat this bill. We've spent 2 years united, 2 years learning the steps of an extremely ugly process, and this bill would add further abuse. We take small comfort in the few flimsy laws that protect our rights and the rights of our state in the federal for-profit eminent domain process. This bill would truncate our right to refuse entry to private property until full legal access has been obtained. For-profit eminent domain is exceedingly abusive, unfair, and coercive.
And Ms. Hansen, that concludes 2 minutes.
Okay, well, the voices I represent here today say, don't add insult to injury by making it easier for these corporations to impact the lands and waterways of Oregon. The chorus of angry Oregonians demands that every state law and every permitting process currently in place be followed to the letter of Oregon law and federal law. Please preserve our legal rights and Oregon's dignity by voting no on HB 3058. And I will also say, what is the hurry?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Roy Hemingway. I'm representing the Williams Company, which owns the Northwest Pipeline Company. And if you get your gas in Western Oregon, you get your gas through the Northwest Pipeline. The current law was put in place, as far as I can tell, in the 2001 session. and it wasn't apparent that it applied to linear projects until relatively recently. In fact, it's never been asked to be applied to a linear project, so far as I can tell. Now, what hasn't been clear in the testimony until so far, I think, is that the Department of State Lands will not accept a permit application for a linear project until all landowners have signed off. So if a pipeline may have dozens of landowners with waters of the state on their property, it may have actually hundreds of landowners, yet one landowner refusing to give permission can mean that the project cannot apply to the Department of State Lands for a permit. Now, this does not necessarily kill a pipeline proposal, but it does delay it and put it at the end of the process. Mm-hmm. It also increases the likelihood that the pipeline company will be forced to use eminent domain, which it absolutely does not like to do. It likes to have the opportunity in leisure to sit down with landowners and to work with them and come up with a fair price. But if it's in a hurry at the tail end of the permitting process to get this done, it may be forced to use eminent domain when it would rather not do so. Now, this is not an LNG bill. As you may be aware, gas supplies from Canada, where we get 80% of our gas, are dropping. And there are four proposals to bring gas into Oregon. Two of those are LNG proposals, and two are not. This current problem with the 2001 law applies to all of those pipelines.
And Mr. Hemingway, if that's your yes. conclusion, perfect. I was just going to ask you to wrap up. Thank you very much. Appreciate you being here. Next on our list, Patricia Ross, Keith Morey, and Mark Arbach. Start the clock when you start. Whomever would like to go first.
Good evening. My name is Mark Auerbach. I'm from Clatsop County. I'm the chair of Northwest Property Rights Coalition. I'm here today to urge you to vote no on HB 3058. As a group dedicated to landowner rights, NWPRC can find no reason to support it. It just makes the short end of the stick even shorter for landowners. In 2007, Bradwood Landing asked for the same change using some of the following arguments. Bradwood said that this change furthered the public interest in condemnation cases by reducing jury awards, which they said are higher than their initial offer. Because the judicial system is tasked to determine what just compensation is, we find this merely supports other evidence that initial compensation offers are usually not fair. For this reason alone, we urge you to stick with the current system. Don't limit the already scant opportunities landowners have for due process. With regard to efficiency, is it efficient for state agencies to pre-process applications that will ultimately come to nothing? Let's establish the need for these projects first, then issue permits. Bradwood would have us put the cart before the horse, as you've heard many times. Bradwood hinged their argument on the presumption that those seeking condemnation authority will get it, and therefore why not give them now what they will have in the end anyway? This is the thinking engendered by overexposure to the federal process. It is the hubris and attitude of inevitability that is so galling to ordinary Oregonians. It is imperious and anti-democratic in tone and substance. Only those who've endured the sickening feeling of having awakened one day to find the red line of a pipeline drawn across our property know how stressful it is, like walking around with a laser red dot on your chest. Don't let the misery of this federally inflicted experience be replicated in Oregon law. It is not the Oregon way, and it should be rejected right here, right now.
That's perfect timing, right on 2 minutes. Nicely done.
Thank you.
My name is Pat Ross, and I'm from Malala, Oregon. Dear Chairman Reed and members of the House Sustainability and Economic Development Committee, I am an Oregon landowner, and I have grave concerns about HB 3058, an amendment to ORS 196-825. The change of applicant, and I'm not going to repeat this, is the applicant of a person. And I have some questions. Does this mean that a third-party person, i.e. developer, can file a written application to remove material from the banks of the Mullala River for which I own property in to the mean high water mark without my authorization or approval or a court order? Does this mean that a permit for dredge or fill work on my property may be issued without the process of law such as eminent domain? Does this mean that I may not be paid compensation for desecration of my riverfront property because I have no agreement and no court order? And I want to remind you of the Fifth Amendment, that no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken from the for public use without just compensation. HB 3058 is an outrageous attempt to prematurely trespass on private property prior to due process of eminent domain. To allow this type of permitting without due process of law is required under the condemnation procedures of Oregon Revised Statute 35.220 is a sham against Oregon landowners and is the abuse in the highest order. I urge you to stop this insane and unnecessary bill. I don't think it's worthy of the legislature's time. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you. Nicely done on the time as well. Please go ahead.
I'm Keith Morey. I live in Gaston, Oregon. I'm a private property owner. Most of what I wanted to say has been covered a few times here. I would like you to you are today here are discussing this bill as though private citizens and private property rights are simply an inconvenience and irritation to this process.
Well,
and
Mr. Morey, let me remind you again that we're trying hard not to ascribe motives to other people. So you can certainly say how you feel, but
I feel that that's what's going on here. Everybody who's spoken in as a proponent of this has spoken as though people's private property rights are an interruption to a process, when actually the citizens of Oregon are what should be foremost and first in all of our representatives' motives when we go to a process like this. But I'm not feeling that's what's going on here. I assure you, if it was your families and your land being interrupted by these pipelines, the feeling I get that this is somewhat cavalier to our private property rights and our positions on this wouldn't be so strong. I'll conclude with this. As an honorably discharged veteran, I assure you that these types of streamlining of private property of removal of private property rights against law-abiding, tax-paying Oregonians are not what I was fighting for.
Appreciate your service and your willingness to come testify. Thank
Pardon
you.
Me?
Appreciate your service and your willingness to come testify.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Alan Hirschman, Wayne Stonecipher, and Don Hennig.
Hope I've got that pronounced correctly.
Yes.
Great.
I'll start. My name is Alan Hirschman. My wife and I own a 45-acre diversified farm on Carpenter Creek Road in Forest Grove. I'll be careful about motivation, mine and others. My motivation to be here is because I'd like to exert every ounce of my heart and soul in the next minute and 50 seconds to helping you see that there's no demonstrated need for LNG in Oregon. It's my belief that the people that stand to profit by the streamlining of the process, the technicalities, the people who spoke before me have already talked about at great length, are out-of-state interests, if not foreign, energy speculators. And I really don't give a hoot about out-of-state foreign energy speculators or foreign energy interests. The LNG, as I understand it, is that would be routed through the state of Oregon through pipelines near my farm, would be going primarily to California. California has already, with Arnold Schwarzenegger at the helm, has told the LNG people to take off, and so that now they're trying to get their LNG down there through our land. I also want you to know that I'd be here and will be here in the future for similar hearings, even if the proposed pipeline is shipped over to the other side of the state. I don't want the LNG pipeline or the projects on the Columbia. I don't want them located anywhere, and I feel the same way with regard to nuclear power. I don't care how difficult it is for the out-of-state and foreign energy speculators to site pipelines in Oregon, and my motivation is to be a burr in their side and to slow this process until it grinds to a halt, which I believe is inevitable. I'm not here out of any mercenary reason, and I believe that ultimately the sanity will prevail with this. I could care less, and I'm not involved at all here spending my time after work about what my property would sell for if these people have their way. That's what I wanted to say. Thank
you very much. I appreciate how you stuck to your own motivations and did it in a nice way.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. My name is Don Hennig. I'm a landowner in Washington County in Gales Creek, and I'm also an engineer and a project manager. As an engineer and a project manager, I've been in such hearings and meetings like Mr. Hemingway representing energy companies, and when I'm billing a couple hundred dollars an hour, I'm very pleased when I can expedite the process and use nice language that shows the savings of money, shows the savings of time, shows a good process flow. However, as a homeowner and a landowner, I've come to see the process of land access, land review, and land acquisition for linear projects or any other land use issue in a far different light. I think the homeowner's rights should be strengthened and not damaged. If your property is not on the right-of-way of an impact project, you don't even get notice. There's hundreds of people in my community who are confronted with a 15,000-horsepower pump station taking up acres or crossing their doorway, and they don't even get a notice. Now, words do matter, and with 2 years to get this proposal to a public hearing, I share Paul's comment that we only have 48 hours notice to present ourselves and offer some public comment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a travesty. That's not democracy, and that's not fair. With the innocent addition of a comment and a few words to modify the existing statutory definition of an applicant in our land use process, you wipe away land use rights and land ownership rights with a comma and a few words. Is that democracy? Is that fair? It's wonderful if you're the developer. It's wonderful if you can move to jump to the front of the line. But if you're the landowner, it is not so fine. I've been on both sides of the table. I can appreciate both sides of the argument. But when you're the landowner and you have no control, the law of the land can grind exceedingly fine. It can be exceedingly frustrating. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Any consideration?
Stonecipher.
My name is Wayne Stonecipher. I'm a property owner near Yamhill. I also have property in near Gaston. I am appalled that this bill has been even brought to this point of committee hearings. It clearly greases the skids of property rights and abets the attempt of big money, big corporations, to usurp our property rights. I have some pictures here I'd like to show you. This is what the proponents of this bill and the proponents of the LNG pipeline.
Mr. Hirschman into holding it up so we can.
Just a minute. Would have us have in our neighborhoods, in our communities, not just for a few years, but for generations, we're going to deal with these possibilities. This is an explosion of a pipeline smaller than either one of the two that are proposed to go through our counties in Virginia in September of last year. Five people, luckily, were evacuated. Five people were injured. Two homes utterly destroyed.
the impact range is over 1,000 feet in these photos. I've studied them.
According to the news article, 1,125-foot length, a 30-foot section of this pipe was blown across the highway.
This is a 12-inch, 900-pound pipe, 36 inches of 1,500 pounds proposed.
Here's that blast pit that was in the first photo I showed you. The piece of pipe is laying over here. This is one of the main highways north of Appomattox, Virginia.
Mr. Dunseifer, we're past 2 minutes. If you wanted to make any concluding comments, appreciate it.
I think I've made my point.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Last two on our list, Gary Bauer and John Ledger. Excuse me?
I said it's not your grandchildren that are at risk here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Gary Bauer with Northwest Natural. Just to kind of give you a little bit of perspective, we are a gas distribution company with over 650,000 customers, and we have over 14,000 miles of pipe in the ground. To shift gears a little bit so you understand that you need a fill and removal permit for working on not just new projects, but even existing ones. We recently had a line that we needed to relocate that had gone was going through a riverbed, et cetera, needed to relocate. The problem we had in getting the landowner's approval was that the landowner was touring the United States on vacation. It took us a number of weeks to locate the landowner. It then took a period of time for the landowner to be able to arrange for legal authority for his daughter to go ahead and sign the necessary papers so we could then file for the application. DSL has certain in-water work periods, and so we were trying to meet that window in order to relocate this facility to address the issue. So it can affect, yes, it definitely affects new construction. And as folks have said, if you have a linear project, it could be 1 mile, it could be 100 miles, it could be 200 miles. And so this having to get a landowner's approval all through the entire length of that project in order to address DSL does take a lot of time and effort, and I've submitted some amendments. The amendment would make it real clear that you do not go on somebody's land and perform any work until you actually have their authority or, again, you've acquired the land. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ledger.
Members of the committee, I'm John Ledger, Vice President, Associated Oregon Industries. I'm here, I'll talk very briefly because it is late, and this is a little broader. We are hoping to see a substantial transportation package come out of this legislature. We are hoping to see money come from the federal government to build transportation facilities and roads. We really are hoping we're going to see some more green energy projects. It's going to require construction of transmission lines. We believe anything that streamlines the permitting process while still protecting property rights, environmental protections and safety protections is a wise thing to do. Hearing the testimony today and the proposal and the amendments, it sounds like all those would be protected. In a past life when I was running an air agency, I issued many, many permits. I've helped people get permits here. The sooner you can open up that application process and start doing parallel processing on issues of permits, the better off you are. It avoids all kinds of problems that spring up as a surprise, and as long as you have a hard stop, which you do here with a property owner, the sooner you can get operating on those permits, the better. It's going to be more satisfactory for everybody. So we think this is something the committee should give a good hard look at. I think there sounds like there are protections built in, and we think this is going to help speed jobs and help construction for everybody.
Thank you very much. One quick question, Mr. Bauer. You mentioned amendments. Those are not. You don't have those yet. Is that right,
Mr. Chair? No, we've not received the correct amendments back from Legislative Council.
Okay, very good. That completes the list of people who had signed up to testify. Are there any questions just as we conclude? Representative Witt?
I just wanted to ask Mr. Ledger if the permitting process is a public process, open to the public, information available.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Witt, permitting processes are open processes, as far as I know, everywhere. They involve public hearings, and usually, and what's kind of interesting in this, what you're talking about here, is there's a gamble here, and it was the same way on air issues. We would start doing an application process, and we'd get pretty far down the road. They do a lot of ambient monitoring. They'd spend $500,000.
This is, when you say we, this is in your past life?
My past life. Regulator? But it applies everywhere. I don't like to use that word.
As a public servant?
As a public servant. And,
a little levity here at the end of this hearing.
But if things come to a dead end, and they take that risk applying early, if things come to a dead end, they need to bear that cost. So the applicant takes the financial risk here and needs to bear that cost. And they can choose to bear it or not. It's their option.
Thank you very much. If there are any other further comments from the committee, what's left of it, I'll thank everyone for your attendance. What's left of it?
There's prominent
that's
group.
That's a compliment for those of us who have
all right,
stayed.
Chair,
but that's more a dig at those who had to leave. But we appreciate those of you, Representative Lee.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, maybe you can, for the benefit of the people here, just what's the next step in the process?
Good point. I appreciate you bringing that up. I had intended to say that obviously there's some further discussion that needs to happen. The amendments that are under construction, perhaps, is the right word that might fit given what we've talked about today. Those deserve some consideration, in my view, to see what they do and how they work. So we will await those amendments before taking any further action on this bill or having any further hearings. The rest of it, of course, is publicly available, the notice of those hearings, and we welcome your attendance and presence at the future discussion. So with that, thanks again for being here late on a Thursday night. We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3058 and adjourn the committee.
Thank you.